Municipal Debt Advisory Commission. We are gathering for our meeting scheduled here today at 10 a.m. We'll just give folks another minute or so to see who's joining, and then we'll get underway.
Hi, Christine. Nice to see you. This is Brian Nava, Clackamas County Treasurer. Sorry, our internet just went out at the county, so I'm joining via phone, but I'm hoping it'll get restored here soon so I can join with my camera and do all that stuff. But as of right now, I'm just on my phone and the service seems to be okay. Apologies in advance.
No problem, Brian. Thanks so much. Stormy day, so you never know what's going to happen with the net these days. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like I don't see a lot of other folks joining. Sarah, I don't know if you can see anything from your side. Nope. Okay. Well, then I will call this meeting of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission to order at 10:01 on Thursday, October 31st. And Sarah would appreciate your assistance with a quick roll call.
Do you want me just to go down the list of people who are in the meeting?
Just the commission members that are in the meeting. Yes, that would be great. Just a roll call of the commissioners.
All right. Jaime?
Here.
Eileen Hendricks?
Here.
Brian Nava?
Here.
And Brett Yancey?
Here.
Great. Thank you. Looks like we have a complete attendance from all members of the commission. There are currently a few vacancies given public member and city representatives having resigned positions due to moves and other issues. So for all members that are currently members, we have 100% attendance. Great to have everyone on the line. I know there's a lot of public members on the line as well. We're here to take a review of the annual report and a presentation of that, as well as any other public comment. It's been a little while since the MDAC has had a meeting, so welcome comments from the public as indicated on the agenda as we look forward to 2025 and a bit more regular meeting schedule on a going forward basis. So with that, I will turn it over to Jaime for a summary report of the annual report of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission.
Great. Thank you very much. While Sarah kind of gets that up, just really quick, my name is Jaime Alvarez. I'm the Director of Debt Management here at Oregon State Treasury. I don't think I've had the pleasure to meet all the commissioners yet, but obviously, pleasure to meet you all virtually and hopefully sometime in person in the future. I do have a couple team members from my team also attending the meeting. Obviously, Sarah, Michael, and Katora are also on. So, again, thank you very much, Chair, Commission members, for your attendance today and your thorough review of the report. We have a relatively short presentation. We kept it similar to the presentation shown over the last couple of years. But if there's any questions, please feel free to ask away. Okay, next slide. So real quick, we plan on reviewing a few items here that are further detailed in the report. The topics of this presentation we'll cover are the 2023 issuance summary, the POB issuance summary, the OSBG program, and a few bond tracker updates. Next slide. Okay, so on this slide we have the issuance summary. In 2023, issuance was down by about 11% from 22. Local issuers issued about $371 million less in debt than the previous year. The lack of pension bonds is what we see as the primary factor for this reduction. And, I mean, of course, you know, there was also much fewer taxable advance refundings. you know, not at the levels that we had previously seen. There was a few this year, but not at the levels we've previously seen before. And of course, that's attributed to the higher rate environment in 23. So at the end of calendar year 2023, the total indebtedness for local issuers was about $37.7 billion, which was $1.1 billion lower than 2022. Next slide. So local government, local issuance. Here we have a breakdown of the data that we receive for local issuance in 2023. So this data is based on information collected via our bond tracker system. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that system. Obviously, it's a little bit antiquated. And so it's, you know, we've done some significant updates over the last couple of years. I'll talk about that my last slide. But we do validate the data via our debt verification reports with local issuers. In the upper left, we show the debt issued by county, with Multnomah County leading in issuance. It is followed by Washington County, then Deschutes. These are the top, these top issuers make up over 80% of the debt issued. The upper right shows issuance by purpose, with education, utilities, and transportation being the top three categories. So together, those three categories make up about $2.3 billion or about 79% of the issuance. Chart shown at the bottom graphically displays issuance by purpose, with the dots representing the number of issuances for each purpose. So for instance, for the largest purpose shown here, which is education, we see the dot representing the 23 issues, matching the table on the top right. Next slide. So on this slide here, we have total outstanding by issuer type with the corresponding trend over the last 5 years. So again, as of the end of the calendar year 2023, we have a total indebtedness of $37.7 billion in the various issuer type categories listed here on the left. There has not been much change in terms of issuer type ranking from last year. The top three categories remain schools, cities, ports, totaling about 24 billion, sorry, or 64.5% of that total outstanding shown. The chart on the upper right shows local government issuance by type per year, and it's stacked. So for 2023, we see a similar picture from 22 with a slight decrease. It's easy to see that, you know, the peak within this, you know, 5 year period was 2020 and 2021, when local governments were able to issue POBs and take advantage of taxable advance refundings at a very attractive rate. The chart at the bottom shows total outstanding principal per year, also reflecting a slight decrease year over year in 2023. Okay, next slide. One more. Okay, so not a lot of change here from last year's presentation. So the reason for that is obviously lack of issuance of POBs over the last year. Since POB issuance guidelines were implemented back in July 2021, local issuers had issued about $1.9 billion. So this chart is the same chart from before. Nothing has changed. They obviously benefited from that low interest rate environment to issue these bonds that I was referring to before. This obviously was not the case in 2023. So the Federal Reserve began raising rates in June 2022, which coincides with the last POB issuance. And of course, they continue to raise rates up into 23. So it explains the lack of issuance due to that high rate environment. So for 23, no POBs issued. Next slide. Yeah, one more. So OSBG, here we have the updates to the OSBG program, which was established obviously to aid school and community college districts with more favorable terms when accessing the capital markets. And as of June 30th, 2023, the program guaranteed about $10.1 billion, or roughly 27% of all outstanding debt of all Oregon local issuers and 70% of all outstanding debt of schools and community college districts. Debt service on OSBG guaranteed bonds was about $886 million, or 6.84%. Of state net general fund revenues, or 18.43% of state aid for 2023, for fiscal year 23. And one more thing to note in this chart below is that the combined OSBG debt service and POB debt service totaled about $1.27 billion for fiscal year 23, and is in the aggregate is about 28% of state aid. The trend here shows or continues to show that the, you know, continued use of the program. So, you know, obviously we at Treasury continue to support the program and include updated information around the program in our annual SEDPAC report. So legislators can be apprised of, you know, the utilization year over year. Next slide. So last but not least, we have some updates to Bond Tracker. So I think in the past we've presented about, you know, definitions and purposes, and a lot of work has gone into that, in which we have made significant updates. And obviously that's a continue, you know, we will continue to make updates based on feedback to ensure that that continuity, that continued uniformity for those type of definitions that are in the system. Debt verification as a process, we work to continue to work with local governments to seek out their input to validate and correct all the data collected in Bond Tracker. We have improved that process over the last year or so, and moved to a completely digital method of sending and collecting all that information. Obviously, there's a bit of maintenance component there, and there was a bit of a hump there that we had to get over, especially not having correct contact information with, you know, emails, people shift around. So, you know, that's going to continue to be an ongoing process, right? Of course. But it's a little bit a faster process once we are able to identify those contacts. So we were able to complete that process much, much quicker than, you know, back in the using the paper format that we were before. And lastly, here we have, you know, there's been a lot of talk about FDTA, and we at the state, you know, obviously we're keeping a watchful eye on any development, final rules, implementation when all that comes down. We're not making any software purchases or improvements to our existing systems yet, but we have started conversations with our internal, you know, IT support system to begin looking and scoping any improvements that we kind of foresee that Bond Tracker would be able to accommodate once those final rules do come in place. That way, we already have we have a head start. We're not starting from scratch. So definitely more to come on that topic once that once final rules come down. And, you know, obviously, if we choose to continue with Bond Tracker, it'll be a continued improvement into the system. We're looking at, you know, making it more web-based. So there's other improvements that are coming down the pipe that I don't want to promise yet, but we are definitely trying to make improvements there. And if not, it's, you know, we're going into a new legislative system. I know in the past we've talked about it's kind of hard to replace a system when we're in the middle. So we are looking to at least get that flexibility in case we choose to change course and just replace something that's more off the shelf. But obviously that's it takes a little while to make sure data integrity is intact and, you know, transition to a new system when that happens. But we're not, we will definitely adjust when that time comes. So with that, that concludes our presentation. So a copy of the revised report was circulated, I think, on yesterday with comments, with all the comments that were received. And they were incorporated. I don't think we didn't see any comments that we didn't incorporate. There wasn't anything that was substantial or too material. It was more like a lot of nits here and there. So hopefully everybody can have a chance to review. I know we sent it yesterday, so you probably haven't had a chance to final review, but at least you have it in your inbox. So when I get a chance, so I don't know if there's any questions, or Chair, I don't know if it's appropriate or how you want to handle as far as the you know, asking for a preliminary approval and adoption of the report, subject to any additional comments that may come in, or I'd like to hear guidance for that.
Thanks, Jaime. I appreciate it. Just as a general point of discussion from the members of the commission, any questions or comments on the summary report or the updated actual report that was distributed yesterday from anyone on the commission? Hearing none, does any member of the commission want to provide a motion to accept the revised report for the 2023 fiscal year?
So moved, Brian Nava.
Thanks, Brian. Second?
I'll second that. This is Brett Yancey.
Great. Thanks, Brett. Any comments or discussion from any members of the commission with respect to the report as a whole? I'd just like to take a moment and thank Jaime and the entire debt management division staff for all of their time and effort in compiling all of the data that makes up the report, and their patience and follow-up in reaching out to all the commissioners to obtain our comments and then incorporate everything in. I know it's a lot of work. There's a lot of detail there that I think provides useful information to issuers and the public finance community as a whole that works with issuers in the state of Oregon to make sure that the public investment and infrastructure that's being financed is done so in a thoughtful manner, and there's good data out there to help inform legislative efforts with respect to public finance matters. Are there any comments or questions from any members of the public that are in attendance with respect to the annual report?
I don't see any hands.
Appreciate it, Sarah. Thanks. All right. With the move and second, I'll call a vote on accepting the 2023 report of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission. All members in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any members opposed to accepting the report? Anyone abstaining? All right. The report's accepted. Thank you again, Jaime and Sarah, for all of the efforts on behalf of the entire Debt Management Division team and getting it posted out there onto the web as time permits. Any other comments or items from the members of the public that are in attendance on matters that you would like to bring to the commission's attention for consideration?
Brian's hand is raised.
Excellent. Thanks, Brian.
Hi, I just had a comment or question maybe for Oregon State Treasury or for the group as a whole. One of the things when I was looking at statute and just kind of our mission and objectives, you know, ORS, it's right in the report, 287A6341. And then getting to E, it says one of our drivers for the MDAC is undertake or commission studies on methods to reduce the cost of state and local issues. And then there's A, which I won't read all the way out. But the overarching question for me is just, Are we fulfilling our mission? Are we providing enough support? Do you guys need anything else for us or suggestions to the powers that be, legislature or Oregon State Treasurer or the new Oregon State Treasurer, in terms of things we can do to help make your job easier so that we can help reduce costs for municipalities issuing bonds? Just as I see that as being one of our missions, given the statute that I just kind of noted. So anything that we can do on our end, this report is awesome. I echo Christine's comments for sure, but anything we can do that's my question.
No, so real quick, obviously I've been in this role not too long, and obviously we will begin we'll have more definitive information next week as far as treasurer transition, but no, at least as of right now, we appreciate the support. Obviously, we have not had, there was a bit of a delay in calling this meeting from the previous. I think kind of what the chair alluded to as well, you know, we're going to get more on track to our normal cycle come next year. But definitely, I think more to come with new treasurer, with the bigger legislative session coming next year. So I think next year's meeting will probably be a little bit more substantial. We'll probably have a little bit more updates there. But no, from my opinion, from where I sit, I think we're good. Thank you.
Sarah.
I just wanted to chime in on the heels of Jaime and say, since I am new too, I haven't done a whole lot for the MDAC other than trying to prepare for this meeting. So, but I don't know of any studies, but as far as resources, there is a link to the Bond Education Center on the MDAC webpage. And that has a lot of resources for local governments looking to issue bonds. So, but also, I don't know how out of date that is. So that might be a project for me or the commission in the future.
I think probably looking at that in the future would be helpful and something that probably is a little bit to the out of date. So we'll put that maybe on the future calendar for the second half of 2025. I think to Jaime's earlier point, watching the matters going through the legislature and flagging anything that the commission may want to, you know, provide any, you know, brief but directive comments or support or concerns about as the legislative session goes on, as well as I suspect there may be some outreach from GFOA and NABL and other industry national associations with respect to any activities going on in the U.S. Congress in the first quarter of next year. There are concerns about what sort of legislation may be coming forward to Congress in 2025 as federal tax bills and other major legislation from 2016-2017 run out and putting tax-exempt financing at risk from the federal legislative side. So I think as commissioners, just being aware that that is a substantial nationwide concern of industry groups and that MDAC may be called upon to put together, as has happened previously, letters of support for legislative initiatives, you know, advocating on behalf of the maintenance of the federal tax-exempt status for public finance bonding measures would be something I would be on the lookout for.
Christine, would the MDAC or does somebody else do like a standard letter that the Oregon Association of County Treasurers could have each treasurer basically sign their name to or submit their own letter if that were to happen? Or is that somebody in another group?
We MDAC has certainly sent letters of support in prior, you know, legislative events and, you know, obviously would welcome, you know, the Oregon Association of Counties, the city folks, you know, doing similar correspondence. I think at each respective organization level, you'd probably see from whatever National Association of Treasurers, not state treasurers, NAS does one as well, but, you know, all the various different levels, they'll have different forms, but, you know, happy to, you know, coordinate that and have it be in a format that folks could, you know, use and modify appropriately for each organization level, whether that be county, school districts, special districts, the like.
I'm probably putting the cart before the horse a little bit here, but.
No, not at all. I mean, it's a real issue.
Yeah,
it's good discussion because, yeah, I think, Brian, to your point, I think there will be definitely things or items, whether it's on the federal level or the state level, that we may have to respond to as a commission.
Great. Well, for those members of the public that are here, thank you for joining us. And please do send in anything that you would like to see the MDAC take up more consistently in 2025. Jaime and I are in touch and we'll be developing an agenda as well, but we would very much welcome comments and suggestions from those members of the public attending and those members of the public that might listen to this after the fact.
Yep, great. Thank you very much.
Unless there's anything further from any members of the commission, I think we will call this meeting closed and look forward to gathering in 2025. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thank you.